Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can just come into your presence right now, Lord. We're thankful, Lord. Thankful for your love and your grace and your kindness. Thankful for everything that you provide for us and care for us. Most of all, we're grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, Lord, who was buried and rose again. And it is through the blood of Christ that we can come before you this morning fully justified, sanctified, and one day glorified with you, Lord. And I'm so thankful just to be here this morning and to share you with others, Lord. I just pray that you just fill our hearts this morning with your presence. And again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a break from the book of Acts. We've been working our way through that for a while now. And starting this morning, I'm just going to do a message out of Psalms 100, give thanks. And then, so we're going to take a break out of Acts, and we'll pick that back up in January. And then in the month of December, we're going to hear from, I don't know if you know or not, we have four pastors here at this church. So we're going to hear from all the pastors this coming month. Pastor Neely is going to preach next week. So if you've never heard Pastor Neely, who's been in ministry some 50-some years, he's going to be sharing with us next week. And then Pastor Charlie will preach the following week. And then I'll have the Sunday before Christmas. And then Joaquin is going to talk at the end of the month. So you can get to hear from all of us. So I hope you'll come out and you'll join us. Happy Thanksgiving. I know it doesn't feel like, huh? You guys, are you sure? I don't know if I'm feeling it in this room this morning. I thought I'd start this week for what I'm thankful for. I was just thinking of like things that I'm thankful for. And I'll just start my list. You ready? Air. I am thankful for air, especially when I can breathe on a good day, right? I'm thankful for water, just to drink it or just to have water. Warmth on a cold night, I'm thankful for that. Hot showers and toothpaste, I'm telling you, I'm very thankful for those two things. A roof over my head and food on my table, I'm thankful for that. Coffee, I'm thankful for coffee. And I'm thankful for breakfast. Breakfast is my favorite meal of the day. I'm thankful for breakfast. I love breakfast every morning. And coffee, just in case you didn't hear that the first time, coffee. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my three sons and their families. I'm thankful for my mother and father who raised me. Thankful that I had good people around me growing up. I mean, I was just so blessed in that area because things could have really gone wrong. And I was so blessed. I'm blessed that I had 22 years in the Air Force, and I was blessed to be in the Air Force. I was blessed to meet so many wonderful people, and I got to travel the whole world. I got to see things that most people will never get to see, and I got to do it. I lived in Europe for 9 years. I've traveled around. I spent 12 years overseas, and so it is a blessing, all of it. My church family, I'm thankful for my church family who have walked with me through so many ups and downs in life and supported me. And most of all, I know they're praying for me. That means so much to me. I still know what that, every time someone tells me they're praying for me, it moves me. I'm amazed by God's people. I'm always amazed by them. Most of all, I'm thankful for a God who loved me. And he loved me with a love that I will probably spend eternity trying to fully understand because it's beyond my comprehension. He died for me and he saved me. That's just amazing to me. Amazing grace for which I'm incredibly humble. I don't know about you, but salvation is a very humbling thought. And I'm forever thankful. And this morning we are here to give thanks. And we're here to worship the Lord. This morning is a call to worship. And we're looking at Psalm 100. If you haven't opened your Bibles there, go ahead and turn there. And this message is just simple. Give thanks. And this year has been a year like no other. Would you agree to that? You know, and I thought that it would be fitting, especially this week and this time, to just give thanks. Just to pause and to give thanks. And to be thankful. And so let's read the 100th Psalm, the first 100, Psalm 100, the 100th Psalm. But it's a very simple psalm, and it's just beautiful. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. This is a call to worship. If you've never heard, this is a simple call to worship. And to think that this call to worship is thousands of years old. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. It's literally thousands of years old. And it's been used many, many times over those years to call people to worship the Lord. The psalmist makes the call to worship the one true God, to come worship the one true God. And this is a joyful shout to the Lord. In fact, the King James translation would say, make a joyful noise. It isn't even, I'm thankful for that translation right there, because I can do a joyful noise. I can't sing, but I can be a joyful noise. Amen? Amen? To be a joyful noise. It is a happy shout from a cheerful heart. From a cheerful heart. It is from a heart that is truly happy to be in the presence of God. A joyful spirit in keeping with a heart that is thankful to a God who is worthy. He is worthy, and we worship Him. And I love that word worship. It's an English word. It's a translated from an English thought. It's worth the ship. And you know, in England was a little island. It's an island, basically, and it used ships all over the world. And so to say it was worth the ship was worth everything. So we worship the Lord. He is worthy. He is faithful. And above all, He is good. There is a joy in knowing the Lord, the psalmist tells us, who provides for us and for His people. One day we'll see the Lord with our own eyes, as Job says. We'll rejoice with our God, and we will gather together. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. I always think about Revelation chapter 7 when it talks about all of God's people, the multitude that cannot be numbered, praising God before the throne and the Lamb. And that when we, one day we will gather and we'll make a noise like there's never been heard before, we'll all joyfully shout to the Lord. But in the meantime, we're to praise Him now with a heart that's full of joy. We're to be a joyful people. It's a joyful call to praise. We serve the Lord. When we come together, we serve the Lord. And we serve with gladness. For it is He is worthy, and He has been gracious to us. This is a call to worship. And we do this, we don't do this as if we're at a funeral. I don't know if you've been at a service. I've been through many services that feel like a funeral. But we're not to come. We're not to come before the Lord as if we're at a funeral. But we're to come with the experience, with the joy in our heart of one being like at a wedding feast. I don't know, my oldest son got married last year, and I was thinking about this, the joy that I had that day. I mean, I got to officiate the wedding. It was the first time my oldest son, I mean, I remember standing there with him, and we're watching Kat come down, his wife, come down the aisle, and it hit me. You know, this is my son. I was there when he was born. I remember holding him, and now he's standing here, a man. And he's getting married. And I remember looking at him, and we both looked at each other, and there was that joy, there was that moment of realization of what it was happening, and we both got teary-eyed. It was just a silent moment. And I just looked at him like, wow, that's, I feel that. It's like heavy. But there was a joy because I was happy for him. I was happy for them. And I was a part of that. And we are to come to worship the Lord with that joy of being in the presence, in the moment. We celebrate who God is. We come before him not with weeping and wailing, but with psalms and hymns and praise on our lips from the joy that is in our hearts. That's how we're to approach God in worship. As Christians, we look to Christ and we give thanks, for it is by Christ that we are ushered into the presence of heaven, and where our praise and our prayers are heard, and we can lay them at the throne of grace. We gather to encourage one another. That's why this is so important, because we gather to encourage one another in this praise, and we share in the joy, and we do it from a heart that is glad. Our worship is also an intelligent worship. We're not just mindless sheep, as so many like to call us. I remember one time being in Air Force with a guy who called me that, and I was so mad at him. I can still remember. He said, "You're just a mindless sheep." And I had to spend 2 weeks with him in a little room, 12-hour shifts, and it was the first day. And I thought, oh my goodness, me and him, we're both armed. This is not a good situation. This is going to be a long 2 weeks. And, you know, by the end of that, God was gracious, because I remember praying and saying, "Lord, you got to help me with this one, because this is going to be a tough one." And he did. And by the end of that, we were good friends. I wouldn't say best friends, but we were friends. God was good. He was good. But we have an intelligent worship. We know God, and most of all, he knows us. He knows us. There's an old saying of, man, know yourself. And there are countless books. I can tell you right now, through the years, I've seen countless books written about knowing who you are. We talk about that. We say to students who enter college that this is a time of self-discovery. This is a time to find out who you are. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll save you some time. I'll save you some time. If you want to know who you are, know God. Know God, and you'll know who you are. You'll find out real quick. Charles Spurgeon says it like this: God in the fullest, most absolute, and most exclusive sense, he is God alone. To him, to know him and that character, and that character that proves our knowledge by obedience, trust, submission, zeal, and love in the attainment which we, with only his grace, can bestow. Only those who practically recognize his Godhead are all the likely to offer acceptable praise. To know God is to know God as creator, the psalmist tells us. And to know that we are made in his image. To understand this is foundational to knowing God and to knowing ourselves. Knowing who God is, knowing his character, following him in obedience, knowing that he is our creator, he made us, is foundation into knowing who we are. To understand this is foundational. We cannot fully honor God and fully worship him if we don't recognize God is our creator. God made us. He made us. We did not make ourselves, and we are not some cosmic accident that just happened to happen. We are made in his image. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. As God is our maker, he alone has all rights over us. We belong to God, and we are his and his alone. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He watches over us and cares for us. One of my favorite verses out of the Bible is this one. It comes out of Isaiah 40:11. And it's probably one you don't even really hear that much of, but it says this: he protects his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them in the folds of his garment. And he gently leads those that are nursing. He's with us, cares for us. The Lord is my shepherd, as Ed read as we started the service, and I have what I need. He lets me lay down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the quiet waters, and he renews my life, and he leads me along the right paths for his namesake. I'm thankful for that, that in Christ, God is our shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So to know God is to worship him and understand who he is and who I am in God. To know the Lord is to give him praise, and it is to enter his gates with thanksgiving. To enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. It is the reasons why we can walk through his gates. It is by the blood of Christ that we can enter his courts, and we do so with praise. We praise because we can enter the most holy of holies. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. In the temple, there was the outer court, there was the temple itself, and there was the inner, and then there was the holy of holies. And only the head priest, the one priest, could enter there one time a year to make a sprinkling of blood upon the altar in there. And it only happened one time a year. No one else could go in there. No one was worthy. And yet here we have God who offers us through Christ that we can enter the Holy of Holies, the presence of God himself. We can come into his presence. And it's because of Christ. Jesus, who entered the holy place once and for all time, but not by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, has obtained eternal redemption for all those who believe. The writer of Hebrews describes this in this way. Therefore, brothers and sisters, because this is a profound thought, and you think about this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have a boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is his own flesh. And since we have this great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart that is full assurance of faith, with our hearts and sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who is promised is faithful. It is through the blood of Christ Jesus that we can come into the presence of God. That it is through Christ that we can enter the Holy of Holies. We can come into the gates and praise the Lord. It is through Christ that that is possible. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. In my house, I don't know if you know, if you come to my house and you come into our foyer on top of the, when you walk in, there's right up on the top in big wooden letters, because Sharon loves everything wood, is God is good. And I can stand at the top of my stairs every morning. I come out of my bedroom, and it's the first things that I see is God is good. It's just a reminder every day of my life that God is good, and to be thankful. The reason we sing the praises, we sing praises to our Lord, is because the Lord is good. He is gracious, he is kind, he is bountiful, and he is loving. He's the God of love. And it is by the goodness of God that we are here this morning. Each and every one of you are here because of the goodness of God. That's why you're here. It is the goodness that sums up his very character and nature. His goodness is what drives us to worship, because he is worthy. It is because God is good that we praise him. And why is he good? I don't know if you've ever thought of this. Why is he good? We name all these things, the why, you know, what we think is loving and gracious and kind, and those are all good things. But there is a foundational thought to his goodness. And it's pivotal for us. It's crucial for our belief and our faith. He is good because he is faithful. Because God is faithful. His love endures forever. And just think about that for a moment. He is faithful even when we are faithless. Because it's not based upon our faith. God's faithfulness is based upon his goodness. And he's always faithful. He is not forgetful. He doesn't forget his promises. He doesn't forget what he said to you. He doesn't forget what he said in his word and what he's given to us. He keeps all his promises. In fact, Paul would say in 2 Corinthians that all the promises of God are amen and yes in Jesus Christ. He is the unchanging God. I don't know about you, but that's an anchor for my soul. An unchanging God, because how many things change around us? Constantly. There is constant change in our lives. Constant change. I was thinking, you know, I've been alive 54 years, and I can't believe that just alone. It just seems like yesterday, I was just thinking about how I was running around playing basketball and doing all the things as a 20-year-old. And I was just thinking that it just seems like it was yesterday. It just seems like it was yesterday. And here I am. Now I'm just happy to walk around and breathe. You know? But there was a time. But it went by so fast. And things I was thinking about, I put the other day that I went and bought an apple fritter. I haven't bought one in a while. And I had to take Joe to work, and I heard there was apple fritters in Wheatland. So I went and found out. And I was in my pajama bottoms and t-shirt and a hat on because I was just dropping off Joe. But that apple fritter called me. And so I went in, and I got the apple fritter. And it brought me back to memories when I was growing up in Jackson, California. There was a bakery downtown called the Swiss Model Bakery. And everybody had to walk to school. And I was a free-range kid, and I got to walk all over town. In fact, that's what my primary mode of getting around was, walking. And 2 miles of school was nothing. I mean, all the kids walked to school back then. You know, a lot of us rode the bus. But my mom would sometimes give me 25 cents, and that would get me an apple fritter, which at the time felt like it was huge, right? And I would walk to school with glaze all over my face and walk in, hello, teacher, you know, all full of energy. But it was that apple fritter, and somebody said, you're dating yourself by saying you paid 25 cents for that apple fritter. And I thought to myself, I am. I am dating myself. But God is unchanging. And it is because God is unfaithful, unchanging, it is a faithful anchor to my soul. I know that the world around me can change, but God doesn't change. And I can hang on to that. Our hearts leap for joy because we bow before the one who has never broken his word. He's never broken his word or changed his purpose. His purpose is always clear. It's to glorify him. In him we can find rest for our soul. As Jesus said, his burden is light and his yoke is easy. Rest in his sure word this morning, church. Rest in his word. Know the joy of knowing the Lord and give thanks to God who loves you. Be thankful. Let the word, let the world know. That's the other thing. That's where it comes from. I hope what you've heard through this message so far is this buildup of God is good. And that you can hear that in your own heart and your own mind. And the things that you're anchoring yourself to him. And I hope from the rooftops of your life that you would shout to the world that the God is good. That he is your Lord. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world hear how good the Lord is. Don't hide that from people. He's been good to you. Let other ones know. Because they need to hear that. People are looking for some good news today. I think that was a song in the 80s, right? A little good news today. We have the good news in Jesus Christ. I pray this morning that the joy and the presence of the Lord would fill you, fill your hearts this weekend, this week, and your homes, if you elect to gather or not. I pray just that the presence of the Lord would be there. I pray that you would be all thankful. Every one of you would pause and give thanks. Give thanks every day this week. Give thanks always. But think about this. And I just want to say from me and from our church family, our church leadership, we just want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. It's not a long message this morning. But I just hope that you just give thanks and praise. Most of all, you give thanks to Jesus Christ who died for you, was buried and rose again. It is through Christ all this is possible. That this psalm even makes sense. It's because of Jesus. There is no other. None other like him. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come into your presence. I pray right now, Lord, in our hearts that we would truly be thankful. I pray, Lord, that you would fill our hearts with thanksgiving this week and every day, Lord, as the world around us is just chaos and there's so many things that seem to be going on. And I just pray, Lord, for your peace and your comfort. I pray for those who are sick. I pray you'd heal them. I pray for this coronavirus to be done away with, Lord. I pray for peace in our nation. And I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon us. And I pray for everybody in this room that you would bless them, and everybody who is listening online right now, Lord, I pray that you would bless them. And I just thank you so much for each and every one of them. And I thank you for your son, Jesus. And I pray these things in his name. Amen.